Essentially, it's just a single pass of water across that carcass. You can't use it again from that standpoint, but we can collect that water, and we can use that water to actually wash the cattle barn area. So we're basically taking water that's relatively clean and then using that to actually help clean off, clean the waste that does accumulate in the cattle pens. But again, you have to understand that as those cattle are moved out of those cattle pens, they're hosed down immediately and cleaned. So, but we can try and reuse that water, and that reduces the overall load of what Strauss has to purchase for water.
Thank you.
Commissioner, let me interrupt. I don't do this at church. They've been wanting me to get volunteering to be an usher, but let me try it, okay? There are two seats up front, one right there and one right there for someone that's interested. They're both socially distant, and no need to stand in the door if you'd like to have a seat. Don't be bashful. There is no collection plate, so, you know. I would like to comment, there are several people that brought up the COVID issue. HIPAA standards and being professional about this, I will not talk about numbers. But I will say that as I participate in the Business Park Consortium calls pretty regularly, the folks at Strauss have been leaders in the design of COVID mitigation plans. They have a very robust plan. It is atypical of their industry. Their experience with COVID in terms of the infection rate, far, far, far below their industry average. Far below. I don't know how to say that and stress it any more without being exaggerated or seeming exaggerated, but this community has nothing to worry about with infection rates from coming from that plant, this company. On top of that, the only way that, no, I'll just leave it at that. The plan that's, and there's a memo in our packets from the health officer, the COVID plan that was developed by Strauss was used by many other companies within the business park as their COVID plan. So let's put that one to bed.
If I could make just one small comment on that. As Strauss, as we're going through the design of the building, and we're looking at the process equipment that's going in it that they're purchasing, they've been very upfront and working with and talking with those equipment manufacturers about dealing with COVID and the safety of the other workers. So I just wanted to pass that on, that they're very, very aware of it and very concerned about it.
Mr. City Engineer.
Okay. heard a lot of comments tonight about sewage and water issues, so maybe I'll touch on some of those and give a few other comments. So I do know that there have been some requests trying to seek your water bills. State statute says we don't give those out unless they're connected to your property, and we've made that clear. But I can say it's not a surprise that you are one of our larger water users. When I started here 6 years ago, I went around and visited all my large water users and got a tour of your facility. I've told several people that I anticipate when you have a new facility, you could increase production quite a bit, and you're probably still going to have a lower water bill. So as someone who's trying to sell water, I'm not overly excited about that, but I'm excited for you because, like everyone else doing water conservation measures, and you're probably one of the last large water users to really get on board with the water conservation issue. And walking through your facility, it's really, no offense, but it's a hodgepodge. You walk in, and it's like, you know, you could tell where each addition happened, and I'm really excited for you to get a much nicer facility. As far as the sewage goes, everyone should know this is not a typical place that you're going to read about on the internet. Everything does flow to MMSD. MMSD has processes where, whether it's these folks or other manufacturers in the business park or anyone, anyone in Milwaukee and the surrounding counties, there are pretreatment ordinances, and you have to pretreat it to a certain level before it goes in. So there's not going to, I'm not expecting that you're going to clog our sewage full of carcasses and that sort of thing. So walked around your facility quite a bit. I will say, for those who have not been there, you don't smell. You don't smell what's out there from the outside. In fact, I would imagine you probably would have expanded your current site if you could have, but because of wetland issues and that sort of thing, I know that you've pretty much used almost every square half inch that's out there, and you just absolutely can't do it. So for you to grow and succeed, you need a much larger facility. And this is what you think about it. The only thing that I really hadn't come prepared tonight, and I heard a lot of comments about, was what is it going to do to property value. So I'm not a realtor, but I did, while I was listening to the comments, I did a little internet research of my own. And you can do this on Zillow and look at our portal for the Beyond the Franklin website. You can see actually what people's taxes are, what the evaluation of their homes. So the current facility is it's only about 2,500 feet from some condos, Cobblestone and Forest View Court. You can find some houses for sale right now, some condos for sale, $175,000. They're not very big condos, but they are pretty high dollar per foot, and I think that's generally what people look at when they look at their houses. So that's $170 per square foot. So in comparison, I heard several people talk about Deerwood. Looking up there, by the way, that's 8,700 feet compared to Cobblestone that's only 2,500 feet. So I checked on several homes that are for sale, 225, so they're also condos, but they're much larger condos. They're like 2,000 square feet, so twice the size as Cobblestone. And when you look at the dollars per square foot, it's $127. So in your current facility, which is, no offense, but not a really nice facility, I'm not even sure people know what's there. You've got a subdivision or condo association very close, and the condos are significantly more per square foot than what condos are for the other ones. So I couldn't find any comparables for the folks that live on Ryan Road. Granted, that's only 1,400 feet away. But I did look at, there are, so I didn't check all the homes there. Obviously, I'm sitting here trying to listen to the comments also. But so anywhere from 187,000 all the way up, I'm sorry, anywhere from 225,000 all the way up to say $400,000 is what I was kind of noticing. But when you look at the existing facility, you've got some residential homes just down the street. There are three homes, and those three homes are 187, 238, and 587. So I don't know how they compare apples to apples, but I can tell you that at least the single family residential house, it appears to be much, you know, as I'm going to say at least equivalent. In fact, there's a large house, but it's on a large acre. So I don't know how you compare that. So
bottom line is, I think some of the concern that we've had is some of the concern.
Sorry, was that me? Did I do something?
There we go. So at least when you compare, you know, single family homes, there's some right there, basically right next door, you know, down the street a little bit anyway. And at least it looks like the homes are comparable. So I had not come prepared to look at that. And just a quick search, it looks like it's, I don't think that's justifiable as far as all those comments about how does it affect home values. So that's definitely not supportive. And I agree with the former mayor who spoke. I think most people didn't even know what that facility was. You drive by it, you just think it's another manufacturing facility. I think this will be the same place, same type of facility. You're just going to see a big building there with the other industry that is planning to move in eventually. So having said that, the water tower, I will say that even without this facility, we still need a water tower. Water tower has absolutely nothing to do with this facility. It's been planned in the master plan for, I would suppose, decades. Both Milwaukee and Oak Creek that we're looking at for our water issues have both told us and put us on notice that we need more water in the air. So with or without Strauss's current facility or a future facility, we need more water in the air. We found a spot, we've done soil testing, and we're moving on the process. That's why it just happened to be coincidence that at the same time we're looking for that. So that's needed regardless. So I've handled sewer, water, As far as the transportation issues, I mean, you're on State Road, and it's already designated as one of the major thoroughfares. Actually, it's one of the few, people don't realize this, for wide loads moving through. It gets its fair share of use. I would suggest to you the one home that is the closest home. You know, they basically are on old Loomis, and they back up to the current Loomis that gets a lot of traffic. When you leave that cul-de-sac, every time I've been there, it seems like you're in the middle of a half dozen to a dozen or more trash trucks, large semis, and other things going down to the trash zone. So I do appreciate the concern. Like the one gentleman, I've been knocking my head out trying to figure out this odor control issue for the sewer. We're working on that, and last thing I want to do is create a stink, but I this will not create that. So I don't know the need for a study from some other consultant to tell us what's obvious, and this plan commission routinely considers these kinds of issues and makes judgments. We've got a wide variety of expertise up here, and I appreciate all their concerns, and I think this body has the ability to make a good recommendation to Common Council and make a decision on these site plan issues.
Just real quick, and then we're going to go to Commissioner Haley. The residential development to the east is owned by Bear Development. They are full. I hesitate to speak for them because I don't have a piece of paper, but they've told me they sold the property to Strauss, so they're obviously in support of the project. Since that time, we've received a notice from another developer who has just recently developed the Parade of Homes site for this year, who is going to buy a portion of that development on the east side for residential development. Same development, he's going to buy a portion of it. So here's two residential developers who are putting their money where their mouth is. So I'm not a residential developer, but these guys are putting their money where their mouth is. So I got to take their word for it that it's a good market. Commissioner Haley.
First, again, I would like to thank you all for being here. I know it's a great imposition to come out and spend these hours, and there's better things you can be doing with your time. But you obviously are concerned about your neighborhood, your city, and what's going on. I've heard a lot of comments and questions on both sides. I'm going to say that I'm a bit disappointed because you don't know what's going on, and that's why you're here asking questions. I'm a member of this plan commission, and I knew nothing about this project other than innuendo and hearsay about a potential development someday down there until last Friday when I got this entire packet of material. It was the first time I had an opportunity to see anything concrete on what was being proposed, where, how, the magnitude, the use, any of this. Needless to say, I've got time on my hands. I went through all of these documents in great detail. I have hundreds of questions. Many of them were the exact same questions I heard out of my fellow citizens here, okay? I would love to have answers to those. I don't think we have enough hours to go through them. The one question I would really love to hear an answer to, and I believe Don Dorison brought it up, and that's this whole dichotomy of what you did versus what you're doing. I was always under the impression that at the existing facilities you processed meat, that it wasn't a, quote, slaughterhouse. There may have been some of that going on, but it was meat products being brought in, packaged, shipped off, that sort of thing. Can we get a straightforward answer to that?
So our facility processes upwards of 400 veal calves a day. And through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it was doing 2,500 to 3,000 veal calves a week. So we still partake in that activity. Our goal with our new facility is to in-source beef processing. So it is a slightly different animal. I would say it's about twice the size of veal calves. So veal calves are roughly 550 to 600 pounds alive, still a sizable animal. And the grass-fed animals that we do, beef cattle, are 1,200 to 1,300 pounds. So we're actually going to do, in the new facility, we'll do less beef cattle than we do veal calves today. And our goal is to migrate to primarily beef. But the process is exactly the same. It's just a different size animal.
I understand that. I appreciate your comments. The question is, is the bulk of the slaughtering being done at the current facility, as it will be done here? Or is what I and many others have always been under the impression that it's not really a slaughterhouse, that they're bringing in pre-slaughtered animals and processing them in various different ways?
So 50% of our building is dedicated to harvest and haining those carcasses to chill, and we fully utilize that space to do that today.
Are they brought onto the site alive?
They're brought in alive, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So there are strong similarities. There's a different mix going on of how this will be done in the future.
Yes.
Okay. I've always wanted to understand that because
yep.
it seemed to me that's a significant difference.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know where we go. Again, I have lots and lots of questions, and I'm not going to waste your time on them. I'm disappointed that this is the first time we have had a chance, the Plan Commission that is advisory to the council, have had a chance to see any of this. Literally 8 to 10, 12 hours I spent just trying to get up to speed in the last week so that I can understand it. And I understand why you, the public, have a lot of questions. I share many of them. I've gone through it. The thing that's in front of us here as the Plan Commission, and again, three of us here are citizen volunteers, four of us. We're not paid. We're not elected. We're here to help with the best interests of our city. What we do is make a recommendation to the council, and we would also be approving the site plan. I've gone through all the materials. I've read the resolutions. I cannot support the special use application, the request, because I don't feel, having read this, reviewed it, that it is in fact compliant with our UDO 15, section 3.0. They've answered the questions. There's a whole series of general standards that are supposed to be complied with, and many of you have seen those. And the applicant submits them and says, well, here's the answer to this question, and staff evaluates it, and everybody tries to do a good job. I, myself, a man of science, read through, I disagree with many of the conclusions that are being drawn, and I may be wrong, but I've got no way of knowing that. And I'm amazed that people can sit in this room and, after knowing of this for a week, understand all these nuances. I think it's premature to move forward and do this. I would actually think it shouldn't happen at all. It's probably an incompatible use, and that's exactly what the general standards are supposed to address. But we just sort of blew over that, and now we're into the details. We've got a plan. You guys are ready to build. You're actually out there on site building, from what I'm seeing. It's all moving on. Foregone conclusion, where's the transparency, and when does the public get a chance to figure it out? I have the benefit of this, and I have the ability to understand it. Got hundreds of people here wondering what's going on in our community. Why didn't we hear this before? Why wasn't there some sort of open forum on it? A million and one questions. I don't want to point fingers. I don't know what the answers are, but there's a whole lot of questions that this city should be answering before it takes any action on moving this forward. I can't support it. No, no phone, please.
Reed.
I surrender.
Alderman D'Andrea.
I'm here.
Question?
I had an opportunity to listen to everyone and their comments. I know that Strauss has put a lot of effort and into putting all these plans together. I'd like to know, did Strauss do any impact analysis that the citizens have been asking for that we have not seen as a commission?
Don? Jerry?
The answer is no, but it's not that we aren't against it. You know, it'd be something we'd have to discuss. But we would also need to understand, you know, what the impact concerns are. Because we, you know, I think we're better off vetting questions thoroughly before we just decide that we're going to go pay consultants to, as was mentioned earlier, what's really common sense.
Well, my question was it ever done? So if it was never done, that's fine. I mean, the important factor here is that you have been in the industry and conducting this line of work for 40 plus years. So you've had an opportunity to vet out practices and design a facility that is answering a lot of the questions that many of the citizens have posed. speculation is wonderful, and it can sway many people's opinions on a project. On the commission and as an alderman, we have to make these tough decisions, and there are many people that are adamantly emotional on this for one particular reason or another. But it's not necessarily the reason that we deny this type of project. So, some of the commission members may not have had 2-3 weeks to review data. I mean, we've had plans and have had an opportunity to go through this for at least a week and a half, along with going through the budget and everything else. I think it's a viable project to move forward, and it will be very beneficial for Southern Milwaukee County and the state of Wisconsin as a whole.
Mr. City Engineer.
I'd like to actually ask Commissioner Haley some questions. So, we may or may not table this tonight. I understand. I think that's what you were maybe implying. I guess I don't understand the difference between this company and another company that might make widgets. You know, you bring raw materials in, you make a widget. They just happen to be making products that go to grocery stores. Everything is self-contained. It's no secret that it's been coming. You know, like many folks have indicated that, a year ago they were talking about going to Milwaukee. That made the news, all over the news, and it was indicated that they were going to come to Franklin. This spot was being looked at. I don't think that's been any secret in the newspaper. So my question is, what are your questions that we can maybe talk about tonight? Is it the number of parking spaces? What about this then that would be different than another company that makes widgets that does manufacturing?
Commissioner Haley.
Manufacturing, it's one thing. I understand exactly what you're saying. Widgets, whatever. They're not manufacturing widgets. The task in front of us is, again, these general conditions need to be met. You really want me to go through them? The development is compatible with the limited industrial zoning district. Well, sure it is, if we grant them to special use, okay? High volume of outside air to dissipate buildup of the odors. So they're sucking in large quantities of air. I get this is all high technology, and I'm aware of that. I know how these buildings work. So you bring in a whole bunch of air, it doesn't disappear, it goes somewhere. You can dilute the odors down, you can put in scrubbers, but there's no way to contain all of this. We've all seen loading docks, the doors get open, the doors get closed. There's talk in here about holding pens that are taken out of the trucks. The point is, on paper, what you say seems reasonable. When I read through it as an intelligent person and look at this, I can't bring myself as a plan commissioner to say that this special use is compatible with this part of Franklin. It'd be a great business to have somewhere in the right location. I heard 10 people say that. It's not the right location for this. If you look at our master plan, it calls for lots of residential development in the future. I'll be real interested to see how many of those 70 plus odd lots to the east actually sell, and when, and what their markets do. The points you were making about values on properties in Franklin, that's fine. They're all up there. That's controlled by our assessor. What will happen 5 years from now to those values? What happens 5 years from now if we're having problems? We've had ammonia leaks. We've had something go wrong. And yes, we monitor it. Calls come in. We go out. What if it was decided that this is an inappropriate use 5-10 years down the line? It's just not working. Then what happens? They've got a multi-million dollar investment. We can never make them go away. All we can do is continue to write ordinances, meet with them. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying we haven't thought this through. There's a great desire to do the commercial development. It's what we've been planning for 15-20 years in this city. We have great hopes for the southwest part of the city. Highest and best use, probably not it. Profitable venture, quite possibly. What is it going to do to residential property values, to people's quality of life? We start unloading, we start bringing in trucks at 1 in the morning. 1 in the morning? That's not what I want to hear, that stuff. It's not silent. We all know this. This is, it's not like you can do this in the middle of the night and nobody will notice. The odors will be there. The impacts will be there. They may be small. They may be cumulative. But nobody has bothered to come up with those answers. I heard umpteen people say, where were the studies? Were they done? You know, what do we know about this? We don't know. We've had a proposal brought in front of us, and it's our task to make a recommendation to the council, and that should be based upon the general standards and the compliance with them. I think it's a very straightforward thing. I go through this, and I read the responses to the general standards, and it seems like a bunch of hooey to me. I could debate on any number of the points. I don't want to gobble up all this time. I don't want to go through these point by point. I've got pages and pages of stuff. But please, if you have specific questions, what don't I like about it, I don't think it's consistent with our overall planning objectives and the future wise development of the city. I don't think it complies with the general standards, or at least no one's been able to prove that yet. Okay. Show some compelling evidence.
You've said that twice. Mr. Morris, still has the floor.
So my question is, what are specific things? So if it gets tabled tonight, what can we go back and what can we find out? So specifics, I heard about air coming in, where is air going out? I think I read somewhere about scrubbers. So you guys are looking at some sort of scrubber system?
On the wastewater treatment area specifically, because that's really where the major potential for odor is going to come from. The harvest floor itself, there actually is relatively small amount of odor that comes there. I know that was a question that was brought up. We're ventilating it, again, with a large volume of air. That two purposes for that, or really the main purpose of that, is to try and make that space comfortable for the workers. It's an ambient space. We're not trying to cool that that like the rest of the building is, where the processing goes on. So we're using a large volume of air to, one, make that space comfortable. It also has the benefit of any smell that might be in there, it'll help dissipate that. But the reality is if you actually tour a slaughter facility and go into the harvest area, there really isn't that much of a smell that comes from that. The biggest potential for smell is going to come from really the wastewater treatment area, because that's really where all the nastiness is kind of going, and all the smells are.
I appreciate that. So, and I guess I would like to allow you to speak more, Mr. Haley, because if you've got questions, obviously we still have a captive audience. They've stayed here this late. You have the people here that can answer questions. I'd like to know if there's still some questions that I can't answer either. So I, you know, you've got the folks here that can answer the questions. I'd like to see the questions asked.
The ammonia. Talk to me about the ammonia. I know what that's all about. That's for refrigeration. It's necessary. It's also significantly cheaper than safer solutions using glycol. It's more energy efficient, cheaper for you as a manufacturer to use that source of refrigeration. It also poses a great public health risk.
Well, Kevin, let's do it this way.
Okay.
You have questions, but you like to add on to them. So maybe if I can get you to ask the question and avoid the other stuff, with all due respect.
Okay.
To my friend.
What is the city of Franklin going to do when there's an ammonia release?
So that's the
question. What is the plan of action?
Excellent question.
Because I have seen them. I know what it involves. It involves immediate.
You asked the question. You asked a good question. So let's get the answer, because that's an important question. So, and that is an issue for me as well. So I'm sure everybody in the room, right? So using the ammonia system, what is the safety plan for the ammonia system? What is the opportunity for something safer?
Okay, ammonia is an industrial refrigerant, and it is actually one of the most used industrial refrigerants out there. Economically, you have to kind of consider the overall system. You basically aren't going to cool or glycol itself isn't a refrigerant, so you need something to be a refrigerant. Ammonia is one, CO2 is one, Freon is one, or different versions of that. Ammonia is a very efficient refrigerant. So the main system itself, it is ammonia that is piped throughout the building to the different cooling coils. On that, the overall charge in the system is going to be over 10,000 pounds, or probably closer to about 16,000 pounds of ammonia, which does require that Strauss would have to have what's known as a PSM plan, or process safety management plan, that has to comply with all EPA requirements. There's ammonia detectors in, you know, throughout the building, throughout the system. Yes, is it possible for something to fail and to have a release? Yes. But generally, ammonia has the advantage because of its smell, and it's very few parts per million has to get into the air to the point that you can actually smell it. But at that point in time, you just start to smell it, it's still not a hazard at that point. That's the one advantage of ammonia as compared to some other refrigerants that are odorless. If there is a release, one of the things that we have put onto the system, it's not required by code, but we are including it, we've included it in the design, is a dispersion tank, which is basically a large tank of water. And what that will do is it will basically release the ammonia into the water, and the chemical reaction disperses that and makes it it makes it safe. So
16,000, what was the number?
It's about 16,000 pounds of ammonia. And I have to apologize. I have to go back and figure out what that does for gallon per gallon. But it's roughly, I believe the dispersion tank would probably be about a 10 or 12,000 gallon water tank. But then would that ammonia would be dumped into, and basically once it's put into the water, it becomes inert and there's no problem with it.
I'd like to hear specific questions, because it's already after 10, so let's go ahead and finish it out. And if we were going to table it because of some serious questions, I'd like to be able to know what to research between now and the next meeting.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to recommend denial of the special use to the Common Council.
Is there a second to that?
Is there a second? Hearing no second, that motion dies due to a lack of second. Any other questions, or do we want to move on to motion? Commissioner Leon.
Thank you, Mayor. Still generally supportive, but not unalterably. I concede my fellow Commissioner Haley knows a lot more technically in the science of this. However, I'm not compelled by the questions that he asked to waver my support for it at this point. But I will try and make up for that. He was asked some questions by the commission, so I will turn to the city engineer and ask my first of, I think, just three questions. There's been some concerns about the odor coming from the dump, and compared to what is perceived, the odor is coming from the proposed operation. Is that a useful comparison, an open-air dump to a self-contained facility? If so, you know, can you explain some of why that is a valid comparison? If not, can you explain why it's not a valid comparison between the dump, which I understand is relatively close, and this proposed facility, assuming that there could be some odors?
I know that there have been plenty of odor complaints from the dump for folks on Ryan Road. I know the fire department's responded several times. I know that
Let's be